and welcome to the F1 Strategy Report for a new season. My name's Michael Laminato, and this is the 2018 F1 preseason. The Strategy Report has got some big things planned for 2018. We've already got a brand new website at f1strategyreport.com, complete with a new colour scheme that will hopefully bring more luck than McLaren's papaya orange. This season, we'll also be taking time out from the racing to chat to Craig Scarborough about the ever-evolving technical side of Formula One. That's all to come later in the year, but for now, after 8 days of winter testing, with emphasis on the winter, the teams have plenty to consider in formulating their approach to the season. But so too does Pirelli have work to do, with thousands of laps worth of data to analyse as they choose the right tyres that might help F1 produce better racing. For 2018, F1's sole tyre manufacturer has a record 7 compounds, and to help explain its strategy for the season ahead, I'm joined by Pirelli Motorsport boss Mario Isola. Mario, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Just back from Barcelona.
And it was an interesting time in Barcelona. I mean, we know this is winter testing, but for the first time in a long time, we had actual snow in winter testing. Probably not ideal conditions for tire testing, I'd have thought.
No, when it was snowing, of course, it was not an ideal condition. And the first week was quite tricky. It was important on the last day, the fact that the track was wet, so we had the opportunity to test also the crossover between the wet, the intermediate and the slick. That is an important information for us. The second week was much, much better with good weather condition, considering it was winter, and teams more focused on race simulation, qualifying simulation, and also testing all the range of compounds. So we have now new numbers we can analyze more in detail and check and cross-check with the numbers we collected in Abu Dhabi.
Before we get into some of the details about the new tyres for this year, if we talk about testing in particular, there's always talk at this time of year whether or not testing should be in Spain or whether we should go further abroad to, say, Bahrain or somewhere in warmer conditions. From Pirelli's point of view, how much or how useful is the data gathered somewhere like Spain in these kind of conditions?
In Bahrain, we can find weather conditions that are much more stable. Obviously, in Bahrain, we know that we have a temperature that is around 25, 27 degrees. While in Barcelona, we can have a week like the second session that is okay for testing. The first week was not okay at all, so it's a guess in Barcelona. It's the same more or less everywhere in Europe, because being winter, the weather condition can be a lot different. Sometimes in the past we went to Jerez, that is a lot more in the south of Europe, and we found weather conditions that were not ideal. So in Middle East, obviously, it's a different story. And for tire testing, just specifically on tire testing, it is important to have this kind of conditions that are more representative. Then we can talk about the circuit, obviously, because on the other side, Barcelona is more complete than Bahrain. You have high-speed corners, you have big braking, traction. Bahrain is a bit more on the longitudinal, so not high-speed corners, just a lot of traction and braking. So you never have the ideal situation.
With only 8 days, I suppose, you know, you could easily get the whole thing rained out, or it could all be sunny weather for the whole time. In conditions like this, you have some teams, and I know that some teams seem to be, during this preseason testing, maybe having difficulty warming up the tyres, even on some of the warm days. From your perspective, does it look like these teams become concerned, or is it easy for them to say, oh, you know, it's winter, when we get to Melbourne, it'll probably be hotter and we don't have any problems? Is it difficult for them to get a reading on where their cars are at like this?
No, I think that you were mentioning the warm-up. Warm-up is a bit more difficult on this new generation of tires because of the type of compound we use. So we knew from last year that compound-wise, the warm-up, we were expecting to have a bit longer warm-up because we were working a lot on the degradation, so trying to reduce the surface overheating and the degradation. The downside of that is that obviously you have a compound that takes a little bit more on warming up. teams know exactly how to manage the warm-up. So it is not an issue. It is part of the game and they know how to manage it.
So looking at this year's tyres in particular, it is a bit of a new direction for Pirelli and I suppose a little bit for Formula One as well, because we have a whole lot new compounds. We've got an additional one that we'll probably see more often, which is the Hypersoft. And then we've also got a harder compound, which is a backup compound. How different are these to last year's? Are we going to be able to recognise certain characteristics from last year's tyres and this year's tyres, or is it a completely new set?
Yeah, in terms of construction, you know that the difference is not big compared to last year, because last year's tyres were working quite well, so we decided to just fine-tune both the front and the rear construction, so it's not a complete revolution in this perspective. But talking about compounds, last year's soft is now this year medium compound, so we have a direct comparison on this level of compound, because it is exactly the same compound. And then we started from last year's soft compound to design all new compounds, so soft, super, ultra, and hyper, in order to have all the range that is one step softer with the right delta lap time. That is something we are assessing with the numbers coming from the test, and with the target to have two stops per race and a bit higher degradation, because obviously with the very low degradation we had last year, it was quite normal that all the teams were targeting a one-stop race. If you don't have degradation, there is no reason to change the tire, basically. So we needed to increase a little bit the degradation to have two-stop races.
Looking at the data from pre-season testing, do you feel like we're in that two-stop ballpark now?
Yeah, we made a selection for the first races based on the Abu Dhabi test, because obviously we had no data coming from Barcelona. Now we can work also on this data to make the selection for the following races. We have to announce soon Monaco, but Monaco is not a surprise that will be on the three softest compound of the range, but we are working for the next events. In our calculation, the first four events, we target two stops, but we decided to choose the strategy that is giving more number of strategies in a small time difference. So taking the quickest one and the total race time for the quickest one, we consider the highest number of strategies in a small interval of few seconds, and we selected this combination of compounds. So for Melbourne, for example, we are going there with soft, super soft, ultra soft, and in our tool, in our simulation tool, we will have it is possible to have one stop or two stops with more or less the same total race time. I believe this is the important selection. So to give the teams the opportunity to choose different strategies with the same advantage or with the same total race time.
And one of the big innovations that have allowed this kind of strategizing was when Pirelli decided to be able to bring three tires per race. And that has generally been pretty successful. It's contributed a lot to the show. And I suppose the next step on that has been increasing the range of Pirelli's tires, adding more tires so that the differences are, I suppose, a little bit more nuanced. But at the end of last year, when you unveiled all the tires, some people complained that it was getting too confusing, that there were too many tires. What's your take on that? And is it a bit annoying that Pirelli always seems to get criticized no matter what happens, even though you're just trying to help the sport?
No, this is part of our job. I'm not worried about criticism. It's important that we collect all the opinion from the fans, from everybody. Our target is to have a better show, because we are the sole supplier. We supply all the cars, so we target to have a better show. This is the important objective for us. As you said, changing from two to three compounds added a lot of interest in the races. In my opinion, it was a successful change. And last year, because we have been a bit conservative, but was the normal consequence of the bigger change in the technical regulation. So we had to design a tire not blind, but obviously without all the information we need when we have such a big change. So we have been a bit conservative last year, one-stop races. Some people were saying that races were boring or not very exciting. So to try to give our support in making races more interesting, we decided to increase the number of compounds, because this gives us the possibility, the flexibility to choose the better compounds for that specific circuit. We are racing in 21 different circuits, and we cannot take three compounds and take them to all the circuits and have the same result. Monaco is not Silverstone, and we need dedicated compounds for that. So the fact that we have increased the number of compounds is to give us more freedom and to reach the targets. Is it confusing? I feel that because we have three compounds at each event, is not really a nightmare. I mean, you will see three colors at one event. One is the harder, one is the center, one is the softer. It's not so terrible, so difficult. So clearly the message we want to give is that not all the compounds are the same. We discussed last year also the possibility to have just the three names and three colors, hard, medium, and soft, and for example, white, yellow, and red, and to use the same names and same colors to all the events, but with different compounds on the tires. So if we follow this direction, I think we are not giving the right information to the spectators, because they are not the same three compounds used at each event. They are different. We can call them with the same name, doesn't matter, but we are not giving the right information.
That's an interesting take on it. I know that has been a suggestion, and I'm on your side of that one, because it would be frustrating to not know, when you're talking about strategy, what exactly the tire compounds are. Connecting with fans is probably something that a lot of people don't consider, being in the remit of a tire manufacturer. But for example, you went out to the fans to choose the name of the new tire, and I suppose listening to what fans want from racing is a big part of what you have to deliver. Is there a lot of pressure when Pirelli seems to be the one that makes these changes that really affects the racing, that can really make racing really good?
We try to make races good, but we don't want to replace drivers. Drivers are the heroes of the competitions, and they must be the priority for everybody. So we need to find a way to have drivers in the spotlight. It's not Pirelli or the tires. With the tires, we can do our best to make races better, but not to be the priority in the event. We want to involve fans. Obviously, when you involve fans, you have so many different opinions that it's difficult to make everybody happy. Also with the name, we had 30,000 votes, and everybody was voting the Mega Soft, the Hyper Soft, the Extreme Soft, different opinion. Mm-hmm. You remember that 2 years ago we asked the fans to vote the color of the Ultra Soft, and they decided for the purple, but a lot of fans voted for, at the time, if I remember, was the silver, the other color. So we want to involve them, and it's important to listen to them, and then to collect all the feedback, all the opinion, and try to do our best. Because sometimes when you change the regulation, you believe that we are going in the right direction, we need to do that. Then you make a deeper analysis and you discover that there are some downside that are maybe making things even worse. And that's very important, because when you make a mistake, you make a mistake, then you cannot come back, or you can come back, but after 1 year. So it is important that for any change, for any decision, we analyze all the possible consequences.
And on that idea, you mentioned briefly that last year obviously was a bit of a step into the dark, because the regulations are all new. It's impossible to test with that in advance because the cars just aren't built. Generally pretty successful, even if the tires were a bit on the conservative side, but of course that's the way it has to be for safety's sake. Is downforce and the characteristics of the cars, as you've seen over pre-season testing this year, increasing with what you're expecting?
They are increasing, not more than what we are expecting, because we received some simulation from the teams that were very clear that cars in 2018 have a higher downforce. There is also development of the power unit. There is a little bit more weight on the car because of the halo. So we knew in advance all these changes, and I have to say that the performance of the cars in Barcelona were very, very impressive. They are very quick this year.
One of the interesting things about Barcelona as well, I think Lewis Hamilton noted it, because it's been resurfaced this year and it's ended up being quite different, as I understand it, from last year, even though the intention was to make it supposedly similar to the way it was last year. How much does that sort of thing throw out expectations for a race? And, you know, it seems increasingly when tracks are resurfaced, maybe it's because MotoGP shares so many circuits with Formula One that they end up being really quite smooth. Is that frustrating because it means that you get all these low degradation circuits and it's harder to create tyres that'll be variable for races?
Yeah, Barcelona with the new tarmac is quite different from last year. The new tarmac is black, smooth, with a good grip, because when it's dry, the grip is very good, even if it's smoother, but a lower degradation and lower wear, or I would say that is back to the Barcelona we knew from the past, where the front left is the tire that is more stressed and more worn. In the past, we had some events, especially when in 2014, I remember with the hybrid, the first year of the hybrid cars. Also, Barcelona was rear limited because of the torque of the car. So now it is a little bit more in line with the Barcelona we knew from the past. But obviously, the new tarmac is changing a lot the characteristics of the circuit. It's still a high energy circuit, but with lower degradation. And that's why we have decided to nominate the medium, the soft, and the super soft. It is a quite aggressive choice, considering Barcelona. So when the promoter decide to resurface a circuit, clearly we have to go there, measure the roughness. That is something we do immediately after resurfacing to understand the characteristics of the new tarmac. We did it in Barcelona beginning of February, just after the resurface. We did it again before the first test and before the second test, also to understand the aging or the tarmac evolution, that when the tarmac is new, is quite quick. So this is something we need to consider when we make the selection for each event.
You mentioned there the measuring of the tarmac and the changes. Formula One's been talking a little bit about things like, you know, changing track layouts to improve racing and that kind of stuff. Even just basically with resurfacing the track, is Pirelli ever consulted as to what kind of surface you guys think would be better for racing, given obviously the surface interacts with the tires first?
Yeah, sometimes, yes. There is no a defined flow, but obviously we are part of this world, so sometimes we are consulted, or we know it is important that we know in advance when a circuit is planning any resurfacing, like this year especially we have Barcelona, Paul Ricard and Silverstone. So there are three important circuits where we need to know the characteristics of the new tarmac in advance to make the right choice. We are consulted, but we are not giving a direction. At the end of the day, is a decision of the promoter to define the tarmac. Usually, and in the last few years, we had this kind of situation. The new tarmac is smoother, is black. Obviously, you have a lot of bitumen and sometimes oil. So it's important that after the surfacing, the circuit is making some work on the tarmac in order to remove some bitumen, some oil, and increase the level of grip. Otherwise, it's very slippery.
And finally, you've seen pre-season testing. We've seen the times and the data. Obviously, you're from Pirelli and you've got to be neutral. You're supplying all the teams. But based on what you saw this or the last 2 weeks, really, what do you think we can expect from Formula One this season? What caught your eye out in Barcelona?
I think we confirmed the expectation we had before the test with a good number of teams that are very competitive. We had also some good surprises, I would say, because during the test in Barcelona, I saw the Haas team that was quite fast. So it's important that we have more teams that are able to compete at high level, not to have the same winner at each event. Clearly, it's making the championship a lot more interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I think we all hope for that. Although, one way or another, Pirelli is the winning tire, I suppose. So that's always good to see on the podium.
Not easy.
Mario, it's been a pleasure to have you on. We all look forward to the season and we'll see you in Melbourne.
Thank you very much. See you there.
That was Mario Isola, motorsport boss at Pirelli. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast, and we'll have another episode next week in the lead up to the Australian Grand Prix. Make sure you don't miss it by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you normally get your podcasts. You can also listen directly at f1strategyreport.com and stay up to date by finding us on Facebook and Twitter. My name's Michael Laminato. You can find me at Michael Laminato on Twitter, and I'll catch you next week for another episode of The Strategy Report.